Bet Rivers Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
A hit for John Tavares. Tavares digging in on his off wing to the net. Shovel in front. Scores! Matthew Nyes has won it. And the Leafs will take it back to Game 6 in Toronto.
Jay's shot here is blocked. There's
the shot. They score!
Sixth straight season, have a playoff series victory.
Nathan MacKinnon on the puck. MacKinnon back to the point for Taves with a shot, scores! Taves with a shot, and Mikko Rantanen got his stick on it for his first of the playoffs.
Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche on a well-played series. 5-plus goals in every game of this series.
Turning the corner, back to the blue line. Perrier with a shot, scores!
Indeed, the Nashville Predators hung on for a big win in Game 5 in Vancouver. They take that series back to Nashville for Game 6. And there was a lot of action around the NHL last night. Four games, a ton of good storylines. Two teams now advancing to the second round, which we'll discuss. I am Marty Biron. Duffer is off for the rest of the week. Listen, May 1st. All these April showers hopefully will bring up May flowers and a lot of nice weather. I cannot wait until it is full-blown summer or at least spring into summer. But it's starting really good here in Western New York on this first day of May, which always remind me of playoffs, playoff hockey, going, you know, to practice on the road and then going to lunch with my teammates. That atmosphere, right? And what we're seeing is the best time in the season, the first round of the playoffs. And now it's going to kind of slow down a little bit, right? Only two games tonight. As the second round approaches, there's less and less hockey. Conference finals is fun, but there's usually just one game a night. So this is still the best time of the year. And we'll discuss all that happened last night in the National Hockey League and what will happen tonight as well in the National Hockey League. Coming up on the show, because it's just me for the first part here, we'll talk about lots of different things, Sabres included. We got a poll. Well, not a poll, but it's a fill-in-the-blank Wednesday here on Sabres Live. So we're asking you, and we want your comments on X. What is your bold move to add to the roster for this summer? So we're already getting great responses. We'll go through some of them and kind of dissect that a little bit. Steve Tasker will join me at 12:25 for a players-only kind of segment. Talk about the differences between, you know, NFL playoffs, NHL playoffs, his love for the game of hockey and the Sabres, and it has been for a long time. We saw him and Brownie at a game late in the season, so obviously they do a great job on One Bills Live, but we're going to bring in Tasker for, you know, about a 15-minute chat here at 12:25 to discuss hockey and what he's seeing in the playoffs and if he's watching. And Kyle Buchanan from the Bandits, they're set to get their round against the Toronto Rock going on Friday. The game's at 7:30 in at the First Ontario Center. I believe that's Hamilton. Duffer would be making sure I'm correct on that. But anyway, we'll talk to Kyle Buchanan about their overtime win against Georgia. That was a crazy, crazy win at KeyBank Center this past weekend. But more importantly, now they go into a best of three series, which is not just a one-off. So we'll talk to Kyle at 12:45 and get the Bandit Land good vibes going. And see if we can push them, give them the Sabres Live bump and get them through the next round and continue their the defense of their title that they got last year. So some good stuff for the show today. Okay, first on the agenda, on social media, we ask you, what is your bold move to add to the Sabres roster this year? So, yeah, obviously, you can look ahead and say, you know, we discussed Patrick Kane and Steven Stamkos yesterday, which was a great discussion. And it carried on social media. A lot of you were, you know, going back and forth yesterday talking about Patrick Kane and Steven Stamkos. I still don't know which one I would prefer to have. I sat on the fence in this or that yesterday. I had no idea. Is Patrick Kane the better player now? Is Steven Stamkos had 40 goals last year and is 34 years old. Well, yeah, 34 years old and can still play at an incredibly high level. But then Patrick Kane came back from an injury and did an amazing job with the Detroit Red Wings. He was probably their best player alongside Dylan Larkin for most of the season here. So I'm still on the fence with that. But we're asking you other bold move, right? Something crazy, something out, you know, out of the box that you may look to do. And what we're getting right now is some great responses. I'm seeing a lot of forward, and I'm going to say the word grit, but I don't know if that's the correct word, because everybody's got to play with grit in the National Hockey League. You cannot play 82 games in a season and go through four rounds of the playoffs to win a Stanley Cup if you don't have that inside of you, if you don't get dirty and don't win one-on-one battles and everything. But, I mean, Gabe here is looking at, hey, why not look to Tampa? We talked about Stamkos yesterday with Tampa. He says, how about Anthony Cirelli, Cernak, and Tanner Janot for, you know, a first-round draft pick this year, Byram Greenway, Jokke Rautiainen. I'm not really looking at what the Sabres would be giving up in these deals, because, to be honest with you, that's not the exercise here. I'm just saying, what type of player, what kind of bold move would you add, right? And for Gabe, it's Cirelli, Cernak, Tanner Janot. And I look at those three players, obviously, it would be adding that physicality. You're not adding, you know, 120 goals when you add those three players. It's not the case. You already have players, I believe, on the Sabres that can score goals. But Cirelli, Cernak, Tanner Janot would be players that would add a certain element that was a lot different than talking Patrick Kane and Steven Stamkos yesterday. We've got Shoot the Puck here. You know, he's got Dominik Hasek in his Twitter handles. So I don't know if Shoot the Puck means dumb sin. I must see. Shoot the Puck, so I must see. But he says he wants to see a player like Travis Konechny, kind of players the Sabres desperately need, has an edge to him, and he can score. Okay, you're adding production offensively, but it's that same type of player, somebody that plays with a really high rate of speed, some really good physicality. For a guy that's not that big, but still plays with a lot of physicality. I have loved Travis Konechny from the day that I met him, and he was 15 years old when I met him. We were doing a camp in Toronto for the best 15-year-olds across Canada, and Travis Konechny was there along with Matt Barzal and Connor McDavid. They were all the same birth year, and I had Travis Konechny on my team. I was coaching one of the teams. And he went out there and absolutely crushed somebody from behind, got a penalty, came back to the bench. It's an exhibition. It's an all-star game. I looked over to him and I said, you may want to cool down a little bit. You don't want to hit people from behind. Be physical, play your game, but you don't want to hit anybody from behind. Don't want to hurt anybody. Next shift, he did the exact same thing, got another penalty. That's the way he plays. Now, you got to walk the line, but what Travis Konechny does is he plays with an edge, plays with, you know, tons of physicality, has a lot of offense. Now, I'd be very surprised if a player like Travis Konechny would be available. There's no way Danny Briere and the Philadelphia Flyers would move on from Travis Konechny. He's part of the reason why they had such a good season this year. You know, yeah, they didn't make the playoffs. They were right there. But Travis Konechny is that type of player that did an amazing job with them. You know, Noah Cates, another Flyers, has been brought up here by Joe. Boone Jenner is a player that's been brought up. Again, you're not looking at, you know, a bold move. I thought when we said bold move, we were going to say, okay, well, you know, make a pitch for Connor McDavid if the Oilers get out in the first round here, which is unlikely to happen. But I like that a bold move for a lot of you also means, like, realistic players, something that the Sabres could look to add to their lineup. Funny here, Larry says, I'm bringing in Ty Domi. I'll tell you this, Ty Domi is not playing anymore. I think he probably talks about Max Domi, who's had a really good season with the Toronto Maple Leafs, played on the top line with Austin Matthews. and really had, you know, his mojo back. Max Domi has done that, though, many times in his career, where first year with a team, he does incredibly well, and then it tails off after that. That's why he's moved to so many teams, right? The expectations are always so high, and then it falls off. But he's doing good with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And in little, like in parentheses, he says, did you see him win a faceoff yesterday, which led to the Jake McCabe goal? Yes, I did see him. And I still believe that faceoffs don't really matter until they matter. You know, the opening faceoff doesn't matter. The Leafs were 60% on faceoffs last night, and that one mattered. Good for them, right? We saw the Amerks lose the game in overtime, lost the faceoffs. More importantly, when the Leafs scored that Jake McCabe goal that made it 1-0 early in the first period, it wasn't so much Domi that won the faceoffs as he got help from Mitch Marner. You need help from your winger. You need everybody to buy in. Faceoffs are not won and lost just one player against another player. So, yeah, okay, Max Domi type of player. A couple of teams were eliminated last night, so we'll talk about it. But this brings up Chris here. He said, how about you sign Sean Monahan as a third-line center? Okay. The reason why we talked about Steven Stamkos yesterday is because Tampa were eliminated, and Steven Stamkos is an unrestricted free agent. And where is Stamkos going to go? Could there be a fit here in Buffalo? We talked about it. Okay. The Winnipeg Jets are eliminated. Sean Monahan, unfortunately, had 0 goals in the 5 games he played against the Colorado Avalanche. But I still think Sean Monahan is a really, really good hockey player. There's 2 guys on the Winnipeg Jets that will be set to become unrestricted free agent on July 1 that I would keep my eyes on. They're bold moves, but I'd keep my eyes on them. Sean Monahan is one of them. Did really good in Montreal. He made an impact on the power play right away when he got to Winnipeg. Maybe it tailed off a little bit of late, but I think Sean Monahan could be that third line center, play a power play role, add the depth that the Sabres need. The other player that Winnipeg has, a forward that will be set to become unrestricted free agent, is Tyler Toffoli. We saw Tyler Toffoli do well in New Jersey last year. Oh, who was his coach last year before he got traded to Winnipeg? Oh, yeah, Lindy Ruff. And I remember talking to Tyler Toffoli about Lindy Ruff, and he had a big smile, and he said about how Lindy jokes around, and Lindy actually asked him if Tyler Toffoli was taking Lindy out to dinner because he had won a poll and maybe he won a couple $100 or whatnot. So then he was like, so you're taking me out to dinner? Like, that is the relationship they had, joking around, fun, coach, player. I think Tyler Toffoli and what he has brought to the Winnipeg Jets and every team that he's played with could definitely be a fit for the Buffalo Sabres. Don't know if that would happen. Don't know. But Toffoli's won a cup with the LA Kings. He was on that 70s line with Tanner Pearson and Jeff Carters. They all had 70s numbers in the 70s, so they called them that 70s line. You know, a spinoff on that 70s show. And it was a great line, a great depth line with the LA Kings that won a cup. And I think Tyler Toffoli could definitely be one of those guys that would come in. Buffalo Tundra says, sell the farm for Draisaitl. This is the kind of bold move that maybe will not make sense, but I like that. At least we're saying bold move. Sell the farm for Draisaitl. I think obviously Draisaitl, anybody would want to take Draisaitl, and the Sabres could get Draisaitl, it would work, but that's the way it is. Keep them coming. Keep the bold move coming here on X. We'll be able to bring some up a little later in the show. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well. And also, because it is a fill-in-the-blank Wednesday, why not ask you guys this on social media? And we can talk about it later in the show and tomorrow and Friday as well, because, as I said, Duffer is out for the rest of the week, you know, taking a little time off. So I need things to talk about. I need your help. Bring me some, you know, some topics. Bring me some things to talk about. So how about this fill-in-the-blank Wednesday? Blank is the team I'm cheering for to win the Stanley Cup. Just a simple question. Blank is the team I am now cheering for to win the Stanley Cup. I don't have a team right now. I don't know if there's a story, a compelling story, a player, a team, a coach that I want to see win the cup right now. At first, I thought the Oilers because of McDavid and because of Chris Knobloch. He coached the Erie Otters. I know him well. He came in, did a great job. Stuart Skinner has been a good story. You know, so I maybe the Oilers is the clubhouse leader for me after round one. New York Rangers probably up there as well because of my good friend Chris Drury being the president and GM. But, you know, Michael Pekka, an assistant. So I think there's a couple of teams right now that are, you know, neck and neck, but we're asking you and let us know on X. Blank is the team I want to see win the Stanley Cup. Well, a couple of teams got closer to their goal of winning the Stanley Cup last night. We're going to start with the Carolina Hurricane winning their first round series in five games against the New York Islanders. What to say? The Carolina Hurricane were the better team. They were the better team from start to finish. They actually, you know, the one loss they had was an overtime loss to the New York Islanders and probably could have won that one. It should have been a sweep, but it wasn't. That's fine. And now they call this a gentleman's sweep because you allow to go. I don't like the term. I'll be honest with you. It's not a sweep. It's a sweep if it's a four-game sweep, and it's in five if it's five, and it's in six if it's six, and it's in seven if it's seven. So I don't like gentleman's sweep. But Carolina was definitely the better team. They, you know, move on to the second round now. They join the New York Rangers, the Florida Panthers, and the Colorado Avalanche to move on. A couple of things from that game yesterday. It was 2-0, just over 3 minutes. The New York Islanders didn't show up. Carolina scored two goals quickly. And then 4 minutes in, it was 2-1. So then I woke up the New York Islanders a little bit late. Evgeny Kuznetsov scored a penalty shot goal. It was Romanov, the defenseman for the New York Islanders, that put his hand on the puck in the crease. We don't see that called too often because it's really hard to see when, you know, there's a scrum in front of the net. Everybody is falling all over the place and the defenseman put the hand on the puck. But this one was obvious. Everybody on the ice kind of called for the penalty shot. And the rule says, unless a player is being hooked or tripped, and that player has to take the penalty shot for any other instances, like a throwing of the stick, a hand on the puck in the crease, a delay of game knocking the net off, then it's the team's choice with the players that were on the ice. It just so happened Evgeny Kuznetsov, in his 10 minutes a game that he plays, was on the ice for that one. And we all know what Kuznetsov is going to do. He's going to grab the puck at center ice and go super slow, like is controller is disconnected. He's not even taking a stride from the blue line in. He didn't even take a stride. His head is up. He's stick handling. And it took him 12 seconds to get there. Now, Varlamov tried to do the poke check, which a lot of people have said to me in the past. Why don't they just poke check Kuznetsov or even Patrick Kane when he comes in so slow? Because it doesn't work. Those guys are too quick, too good. Their head is up. Kuznetsov's head is up. He's looking at the goalie. As soon as you get the poke check out, he's moving to his left, and he's opening the side of the net, right? So the only thing I could see the league doing for those type of situation in the future would be to have a 10-second shot clock, right? You have a shootout attempt. You have a penalty shot attempt. As soon as you touch the puck, there's a 10-second shot clock. Problem is, how do you see that shot clock? If you're a player, like in basketball, you see the shot clock right there on the net. You see it. In lacrosse, there's a shot clock. You see it right behind the goal. In every sport, football, there's a play clock. The quarterback sees the play clock. If you're not looking at it, it's your own fault. How do you put a shot clock in hockey that the player knows, I got to speed up. I still have time. I can slow down. So I think it's a little bit more of a fan problem. I don't think the hockey people are really worried about Kuznetsov and what he's doing with the puck, but that happened. Quickly, we'll move on to the next game, which Colorado beating the Winnipeg Jets. This was just a complete disaster for the Winnipeg Jets, who did the exact same thing last year, by the way. They won the first game against the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round and lost four in a row. So my... I should have taken the pledge, that Jeremy White pledge that he does on the morning show all the time here on WGR 550 is, I said early in the year, I will not talk about the Winnipeg Jets, and the Jets made me talk about them, and I regret it. I regret it because it's the same old Jets. You know, they lost in five. They had no goals. No goals. from Velarde, no goals from Nick Ehlers, no goals from Sean Monahan, no goals from Nino Niederreiter in five games. It was just not good for the Jets. They got dominated despite the fact they won the first game 7-6. You look at the numbers. 42 rush chances for Colorado to 24 for the Jets. 28 goals for Colorado to 15 for the Jets. The Jets were the first team in NHL history to give up five or more goals in each of the first five games in the postseason, eventually losing in five games. So good on Colorado. They were really good. Georgiev played great. But at the end of the day, it just wasn't good enough. And Rick Bonus was kind of just left to shake his head after the game, saying that's just, you know, we played better. That was probably their best playoff game of the year, but Connor Hellebuck wasn't able to come up with an answer. And, you know, Mikko Rantanen finally got a couple of goals. Val Nichushkin has seven goals in the first five games. He scored in every one of those games. So those are the two teams that advance. You got the Carolina Hurricanes, the Colorado Avalanche joining the New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers that will be in the second round. The other two games that happened last night, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they were able to pull one off in overtime in Boston with a 2-1 win. Look, they put Joseph Woll in net, and it worked because Joe Woll was really good. Got a little lucky in the third period. Todd Marchand. Always think of Todd Marchand. Buffalo Todd Marchand. But Brad Marchand had a chance early in the third, did not score. Charlie Coyle hit the post at 4-on-4 halfway in the third period. Charlie Coyle had a great chance in overtime, wasn't able to capitalize, and just a few seconds later, on a quick breakout transition play by Ilya Lyubushkin, of all players, he gets the wide pass to John Tavares. Tavares goes in wide, gets to Swayman, the rebound to Matthew Nyes, and now a rookie player, Matthew Nyes, and a rookie goaltender, Joseph Woll, saved the Toronto Maple Leafs from the golf season, who were without Austin Matthews, by the way. So Matthews dealing with sickness and an undisclosed injury. So you know what? That's what you got to do. Funny enough, Matthews missed a game this year with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they won 7-0 in that game. They're able to beat the Boston Bruins 2-1 in this one. Boston didn't show up, though. They had two shots in the first period, and that was their second shot was the Trent Frederick goal that made it 1-1. So it was, and Brian Boyle, my old teammate, Brian Boyle, who does a great job on NHL Network on the TV, he said, can somebody turn the AC or the condenser at the Garden in Boston because the puck is bouncing everywhere? Well, it seemed to affect Boston more than the Toronto Maple Leafs. The puck was bouncing everywhere. David Pastrnak couldn't handle the puck. Every time it came to a stick, it was like he was making the puck into a square. Like he was cutting it up. Like it was so bad. But hey, it works for Toronto. They win 2-1. My daughter was at that game. She says I never talk about her on this show, but she was at the game sporting a Boston Bruins jersey that was gifted to her. Made me want to barf a little bit, but that's just the way it is. And then the late game, which went, kind of surprisingly in Nashville's favor. Why? Because it was 1-0 early in the third with Nikita Zadorov just doing his best Bobby Orr impression. He went end to end. And then scored on the short side of UC Saros. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, can Vancouver pull this one again? Because the Vancouver Canucks had 11 shots after two periods. 11 shots. They had 12 shots in game three and they won. They had 20 shots in game four and they won, but only had 15 until the last 3 minutes of the game. So you're thinking, can the Vancouver Canucks do this again? Zadorov scores his second on what was a iffy goal. And then Roman Josi gets credited with a power play goal. As he's driving the net, the puck is under Artur Shilovs, who, by the way, played great in the two games that he's been playing as the third goalie for the Vancouver Canucks. The puck is under Shilovs, and Gustav Nyquist comes in and absolutely pitchforks the goaltender into the net. The puck goes into the net. It's called a goal on the play, and Rick Tocchet does not challenge the play. I think he was worried with 12 minutes, 12 and a half minutes left in the game to say, hey, if I'm wrong, the goal counts, it's 1-1, and we go to the penalty kill again. So decided not to challenge. I was completely surprised. I thought that was a challengeable play. And probably, well, we don't know, but in my book, as a member of the goalie union, would have been, called back. It would have been waved off and Vancouver would have stayed up at 1-0. Instead, William Carrier gets his first of the playoffs on a long screenshot. Nashville puts it 2-1. But again, the shots for Vancouver in the game, 7 in the first period, 4 in the second, a little bit more desperate late in the third, but they only had 9 in the third for 20 shots. They averaged less than 20 shots per game in the 5 games that they've played here against the Nashville Predators. But that series is now 3-2 for Vancouver. They're going back to Bridgestone Arena in Nashville for game 6, which should be a very, very loud game in Nashville. So that is our look around the NHL. There is 2 games tonight in the National Hockey League. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Maybe we'll talk about it with Steve Tasker. Who does he like tonight in the National Hockey League? The Edmonton Oilers are playing against the LA Kings. Dallas Vegas is also playing tonight, game 5 of those series coming up. So we'll talk to Steve Tasker about it, but continue to bring the bold moves here on social media. We want to see them. Blank is the team I'm cheering for in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now to win the Stanley Cup. Bring those up on social media. We got it at Sabres Live. And when we come back here on WGR 550 and MSG, Steve Tasker, the legendary number 89, is joining us here on Sabres Live. We'll be back in just a few minutes.